The purpose of Retire with Style is to help you discover the retirement income plan that is right for you. The first step is to discover your retirement income personality. Start by going to risaprofile.com/style and sign up to take the industry's first financial personality tool for retirement planning. We can't all be the Golden Girls, so we probably need to be thinking about where we're going to live as we age. Though Miami does sound pretty nice after digging my car out after this last snowstorm.
Hey everyone, welcome to Retire with Style. I'm Wade and I'm here with Alex, and we're continuing our multi-part arc on long-term care, continuing with where we left off in the last episode to talk about the end of the spectrum of continuing care, nursing homes, brief mention about hospice, it's not really long-term care. But then CCRCs, continuing care retirement communities.
Sorry, Wade. As you pointed out, I misspoke last time. It's actually Clearance Clearwater Revival, CCR.
Ah, that's what you're trying to think of.
Yes.
So that was a reference to your CCROs, which is a less homey feel if it was an organization rather than a community.
I was looking at the slide from far away, like the previews. And I couldn't quite make out the last letter, and it looked like an O from far away, so I didn't really think about it. Like the C, I thought that it continued.
Your eye exam with that kind of mistake.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I'm starting that trajectory. Hey, can you come by and bring me some chicken soup tomorrow at 1 o'clock? Meals on wheels. But yes, here we go. I'm not the fortunate son.
That'd be at the initial stages of in-home care. We're at the other end of the spectrum today, so no soup for you.
Today we're doing Benjamin Button. We're starting backwards. Okay, in the last episode, we got through a couple things, just in terms of the stages, right? You want to maybe quickly, the progression goes, you know, just getting right to the brass tacks, when you're thinking about long-term care, there's the assistance provided by friends, family, home, that kind of thing. That's when you know who your friends really are, kind of thing. Home visits from healthcare aides, adult daycare centers, assisted living facilities. And I went off on my tangent about, you know, there's a formal one and informal ones. My mom does much better in a more informal one where they kind of make her do things as opposed to giving her any opportunity to get lost in the mix, if you will. And like I said, that was a godsend from us. So if you look hard, you'll be able to find people. But the reality is I'm in a different situation where I have a lot of resources available to me simply because of the business that we're in. So we know professionals that can find things for us. So, you know, Wade also mentioned there are professionals out there that can help you with this, geriatric care managers and the like. So you're not alone when it comes to that. But what I wanted to disabuse folks from listening to it, that, you know, we're giving you kind of just the definitions of things right now. We're not providing a lot of like, okay, but in real life, this is the color, if you will. And so when there are opportunities to do that, we'll do so. But just know that by no means what we're saying is this is the only way. You know, for every option that we're saying, results vary. So, you know, keep that in mind. And there it is. But we got through, you know, all up to assisted living facilities. And now we're going to try to cover, this will be a shorter one, where we're going to talk about nursing homes, hospice care, and continuing care retirement communities, not to be confused with organizations.
Yes. And I also learned that Tennessee Williams choked to death on a bottle cap. So that was a fun
one. Yes. And we found out that Tennessee Williams choked to death on a bottle cap. So what did you like? Got glass menagerie or a streetcar named Desire or cat on a hot tin roof? Which is your go-to?
The one that I think probably penetrated the pop culture the most was a streetcar named Desire. Isn't that the that's Stella?
That's Stella. Yeah, that's the Blanche DuBois. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a sucker for Elizabeth Taylor and Paul Newman in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, you were a film major, so you've seen
Say it again. Nah, but that's nothing to do with film. That's I think it's more literature with Tennessee Williams. Like I was top of his game. I think this one's more related to the Glass Menagerie, where you know this younger girl needed help, and you know the Glass Menagerie was a metaphor. She kept the Glass Menagerie, but she was kind of, you know, in a similar manner, fragile. But I digress. I could be wrong. I'm literally doing that off the top of my head, so hopefully I'm not off on these things. But go ahead, Wade. Take it away. Nursing homes.
That's now where once you really need more care than an assisted living facility could provide, or if you were still at home, because we talked about how you don't necessarily go to every single stage in this process, but you may be going directly from home to a nursing home, or you might be in an assisted living facility and then enter into a nursing home. But that's really the final step of long-term care, in terms of this is where you can receive 24-hour care, both skilled nursing care as well as custodial care. And you're really at that point where you do need significant help with the activities of daily living, as well as other medical issues that nursing homes provide. Nursing homes also tend to be the most expensive of the long-term care options, just because their care does go so much deeper. And they do tend to, well, at least more people are going to be in a nursing home facility that is a larger institution, where you may have a room in a larger facility. And you'll have all your meals and everything else taken care of as well. And when we talk about the cost of long-term care, that's the nursing homes can be, and it varies around the country, but in excess of $100,000 a year. That's not necessarily something you have to budget for entirely, because once you move to a nursing home, most of the rest of your retirement budget disappears, since you're no longer traveling or going to restaurants and things. So a lot of the existing retirement budget can be redirected to pay for a nursing home, which helps to reduce some of the impact of these costs on the household.
Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking about when you say that, you know, it hits me because this is where my dad's been for the last probably 10 years. You know, he's different from an ALF. He's been in a nursing home because he's pretty much he's bedridden at this point. But yeah, the nursing home is more appropriate for him because it's that higher level of care that he needs right now. But yeah.
And there's more licensing that goes on with these. Medicare has, and don't get confused, Medicare will not pay for a nursing home, but Medicare does have a nursing home compare service at their website, medicare.gov, which can be useful for learning about nursing home facilities that are eligible for Medicaid if that becomes an issue. And you will want to make sure, again, if you're going into the nursing home, you're not necessarily managing your finances at this point, but is this a facility where you can make that transition from self-pay to Medicaid, if necessary, with a long enough stay?
Yeah, and Wade, you were talking about budgeting here, and if we can do this from memory, you know, in terms of just guesstimating, but I think folks, you know, they look to you for estimates from a financial planning standpoint and the like. And if you look at the nursing home cost, as you said, 100 grand, you know, thank you very much just for walking through the door. How do you budget for this within your own financial plan? And you said it last time, but I think it's kind of I think it would be of interest for folks, because they're not going to frankly remember what you said four podcasts ago. And it's a good time to just revisit the whole how you think about this.
Yeah, well, at Retirement Researcher, we created that funded ratio tool that I think is a great just baseline retirement plan. I've got my own version of the funded ratio that I programmed for myself. And I treat long-term care as one of the contingency expenses. And there's a lot of factors that go into the ultimate trade-offs and balance in here. But the kind of the long-term care scenario that I have my financial plan run with a planning age of 100. And at ages 90, for 5 years, 96, 97, 98, 99, and 100, I've just budgeted in an extra $100,000, inflation adjusted from today, as my long-term care spending shock. And that's if I can build a plan where I'm able to fund that, I feel reasonably comfortable that I can manage a long-term care shock. Might not necessarily be just myself. You could think of it as like 2 years for the husband, 3 years for the wife, altogether 5 years. Yeah,
you do 4 years for both of you?
No, it's 5 years total.
So you overlapped a little bit with her.
Yeah.
Or 100 all in.
Well, no, it's per year. That's the nursing home cost. The average nursing home cost in the U.S. is in the ballpark of $100,000 per year.
Okay, but that's what you did for yourself. So then, well,
that's for our joint household plan.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. All in or just you? Okay,
our plan assumes we both live to 100 and adds us in. In our case, too, though, with my wife being Japanese, she might ultimately prefer long term care in Japan, which would be a heck of a lot cheaper than in the U.S. So I guess I may not have as severe of potential spending shock in that regard as some people might want to have.
Yeah, but you have kids that are here, right? I mean, with three kids, you think they're going to go to Japan?
Well, who knows where anyone's going to live at that point.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right. Who knows? All right. Okay, so you got the nursing homes, right? And that's the last resort, right? From that standpoint, do nursing homes have hospice cares in them, or do you have to go separately?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't have a good answer for that. I often think of them as being separate, but I suppose there's probably quite a few nursing homes that do have some sort of hospice care arrangement as part of what they provide.
Yeah, here, I'll speak from experience. My dad's probably been on, you know, close to passing, I don't know, maybe a handful of times already. He's had COVID 3 times, and that's nothing. You know, it's just been more at a certain age, you know, your body starts giving out. And so internal bleeding and like how that goes, who knows, right? And he's recovered all this every time. But what happens is there's a couple ways. You can obviously go somewhere for hospice care, but usually there's services that will come in as well. And they have arrangements with the nursing homes, and they'll come in and they'll provide hospice care, you know, for the time being. Now, yeah, there's give and take. You got to be careful with that too, because that can also be gamed in a bad way. But yeah, you can have people come over and provide hospice care, if you will. Sometimes it may not be needed because it's not that different than what the nursing care would provide. But yeah, I mean, they can either come in, or you kind of deal with that before you need it. And the way I have it with my father right now is if it would be needed, there's a service we would call and they would come in, you know, and do their thing. But we would only do that once it's, you know, very certain, not necessarily like, you know, hey, within a month. No, it would be like, you know, we always got a few days, you know, kind of thing. But they would come over. I wouldn't be pushing my dad elsewhere or anything along those lines. But you want to talk about what hospice care is? I think I got into the solutionizing before.
Oh, yeah, we didn't really define it.
So, sorry about that.
Once someone's really has a terminal condition that's not expected to improve, hospice care is really about providing the palliative care or just pain relief and that sort of thing, not necessarily doing medical interventions to try to prolong life further, but providing comfort at home.
But this is where it gets tricky. This is where it blends a little bit and things for people to think about, where I'll bring my dad's situation and, you know, we have similar clients, so it's not too different. But okay, my dad's effectively in a vegetative state. He's dementia. I think he's in a slipstream on and off. He doesn't necessarily know where he is. He eats, he can be fed and he'll eat and he enjoys things along those lines, but he does have a DNR. I'm not going to take my dad anymore to the hospital to get a transfusion if need be or something like that. We made the decision as a family to do that. And incidentally, another thing to just financial planning 101, have your powers of attorney and all of that stuff in order beforehand. And not just beforehand. My stuff was done, I want to say 15 years ago at this point, you know, because if it gets to the point that your parents have already, you know, that their cognitive function has already declined, you can't get a power of attorney then because there's issues there. And so, you know, there's a whole different ball of wax that you have to deal with. Luckily, we did this while everyone was lucid, you know, and so that's step number one. You really have to take care of this.
Yeah.
10 years before you need it. You know what I mean?
That's actually that a good point, because I usually talk about that incapacity planning as part of the legacy and incapacity planning, but maybe we should have an episode on that specifically as well as part of this.
Here's a personal question. Do you have that with your mom already?
I have it for myself, and I've encouraged my mother to do it. I'm not sure if you followed through.
Give me her number. No, I mean, I'm serious, because if not, then it becomes extremely more difficult, and you can't just... I'm not going to say you snap your fingers, but you know what I mean? Now you have to involve attorneys almost on a yearly basis, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so the fact that I have the power of attorney for both of my parents and it was done when they were lucid makes a world of difference in the efficiency, the speed of care, et cetera, et cetera. Just because, again, if dementia sets in, I mean, maybe you get, you know, technically they can't give you that responsibility at that time because mm-hmm. they're not thinking clearly. So please, if you get anything from any of these podcasts, is take care of that stuff now. So Wade, you know what to do right after this podcast.
Yeah, make sure she had a plan. She knew who she was going to contact. But now that you say that, I don't know that she ever did follow through with it. So
yeah, no, that all kidding aside, get seriously, just knock that out, because that's, it's silly not to at this point. I mean, sure, it's a hard conversation, but hey, that's the ticket of being alive.
Curious if you should be looking at a Roth conversion or what a Roth conversion even is? Head over to mcleanam.com/Roth to get McLean's free ebook, Is a Roth Conversion Right for You? And learn about when you might want to do a Roth conversion and when you might not. Just head over to mcleanam.com/Roth to download your free ebook today.
That being the case, where was I with my dad? So we're not going to, he's not going back to the hospital, you know, et cetera. And so at this point, he's not under hospice care, but, you know, he did have COVID about a month ago and they gave him something for that, but that's fine. I'm fine with that. What we're not doing is the major stuff, the transfusions, the this or that kind of thing, right? As long as he's not in pain, right? And so they're already doing that. So in an interesting way, there's not, for his case, things vary. I'm not trying to be, oh, this is how it is and forever it should be like that for everyone. But there's not a lot of difference with what he's getting right now than hospice care. Mm-hmm. You follow?
Yeah, but it's not formally considered hospice care.
No, it's not formally considered hospice care, 100%. So if anything happens to him, we're not sending him to a hospice or anything like that. You know, they'll come over, but it'll be at the very end, if at all, you know, from that standpoint. Just wanted to give you the sense of things. Now, there are folks that, you know, and we can bring in people if in the comments you kind of want to know how this works. But there are folks that specifically, you know, you would go somewhere and there it's, you know, you get the hospice care that you need, et cetera. But you know, my dad's not the one that, he's not in pain. He's not in this or that. He's effectively in, you know, in that dementia state, if you will. He's not suffering, you know, from a pain thing, at least at the moment, that, you know, this would be a serious, serious consideration for him. So I guess that's a long way of saying, no, you don't necessarily need to go somewhere. A lot of these nursing homes will contract that in. Maybe a question you want to figure out before you go in there. But at the very least, get the power of attorney. Like right now, even 3 days ago, I was called because they're changing the pharmacy provider for my father. And they were going to do this big rigmarole around it because, you know, they couldn't ask my dad. And I had to point out to them, no, I have power of attorney. And so they asked, and then boom, you know, it was done in a second, as opposed to taking 4 or 5 weeks for that to take place. So save yourself a huge headache is all I can say there.
It's important. And just on this same theme too, so Medicare can pay for hospice care, unlike nursing home care or other long-term care. If you do have a doctor certify that the patient is expected to live for less than 6 months, that can trigger payments from Medicare. Now, of course, people may live longer, and President Jimmy Carter is an example where he's been in hospice care now for more than a year. I do believe that the benefits continue as long as the medical professional continues to certify that recovery is not expected. So that is a consideration as well.
So your example about hospice care lasting more than 6 months is bringing up Jimmy Carter. You think anyone's going to cut him off?
I don't think it works like that necessarily.
No. I'm messing around. I'm the president. If you're the president and you can't get hospice care extended, what's the point of being the president?
Well, I don't think anyone gets cut off for financial treatment. You've got a lot of conspiracy theories when it comes to the provision of late in life medical care.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. And what? All right. So let's go into the continuing care.
Yeah,
my favorite.
Yeah. So that's the last step in the process, but that's where it's a continuing care retirement community is really an organized facility that can provide multiple levels of care, and you can't wait until you need nursing care to move to a CCRC. But when you're still healthy and still independent living and so forth, you may decide to move to a CCRC that is contracted to support independent living, at-home care, assisted living facility, nursing home care, all in one community. That may not mean the same. You may have to move to a different part of the community, but at least for couples, when someone needs to move to a nursing home, that nursing home will still be close enough by that the other individual can still visit and so forth without a significant requirement to travel, because it's all one neighborhood type arrangement. Now, that being said, CCRCs, we talked a little bit about reading through the contract with an assisted living facility. You're definitely going to want an elder law attorney review any contracts for CCRCs, because these can be significant financial commitments. They're organized in different ways. Some of them have huge upfront costs, but then not much in the way of ongoing costs. And that can really be a replacement for long-term care insurance. Others may have a lower upfront cost, but then more of a, you pay for the increasing amount of care that you need, increasing payments for that as you go through time at the facility. So there's like type A, type B, type C, that sort of different ways to arrange the contract, upfront costs versus ongoing costs.
No, this is a very effective option. Sort of they give you the entire roadmap all in one lane. You can almost like a soup to nuts solution set, as you progress. My wife's great aunt is on this, and it's been a great actually solution for her in terms of she sold her condo and she used that money to buy a spot in one of these, and she's been progressing, just normal things. She's been progressing along the way, and it's been great. I think it's been the closest I would say to when you were talking about in the previous one. Why am I blanking out here? The assisted living facility, if you will. It kind of has a vibe of that, but that can, if you need more and more services, it just slots you into a different sleeve of what they offer. And so it's great in that sense, because it goes at your pace and you're within the community and the like. But again, my mom wouldn't flourish here, because you're in a community. And so you get the most benefits when you're out there. But I say that knowing that my wife's great aunt, she's like my mom in the sense that she doesn't want more friends. She's in her world. This Marlene actually takes care of her quite a bit. And she's in there and she does her thing. And people come in. She lives in one of these. Someone comes in on a daily basis to take care of her. And this is contracted outside of the CCRC. Sorry. They come in, do their things, but within the community itself, they have the dinners you go to, the breakfast you go to. If they know that you need help with that, they'll go in, fetch you, bring you, carry you along. They'll make sure that, your daily living skills are sort of up to date and making sure that you're not falling through the cracks, because if so, then you quote unquote graduate into the next level of care. And this is very effective. And I don't know if they're all like this, Wade, but this is where if she were to pass, she can kind of sell her spot.
Yeah,
as well.
Depending on the arrangements, where that would have been more of a lump sum upfront cost that she can.
Yeah, I think this is your elder care law. You know, let someone read the contract. But it's not just, you know, you said interest fees can be as high as $500,000. If you pay that, if you were to pass, I don't think you're out of that money completely. I think there's some value in holding a spot there that you can sell and the like. But no, this is something that I've seen my aunt in this. And again, we're just laying down the groundwork in these episodes of what these terms are. And, you know, our next phase, once we do that, is to bring in experts to really talk about it. We're just giving you just the Wikipedia level information at this point. But this is something that I've seen work really well with folks. And I have a friend of mine that actually not runs one of these, but is high up in these in the area in the Mid-Atlantic. And these are things that are actually increasing in popularity in a major way because of that cradle to grave sort of pathway that they provide, but in a manner that's very sympathetic to the folks there, and in a manner that they can frankly enjoy themselves in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. And just emphasize again, if you're already looking for an assisted living facility, it'll be too late to consider most CCRCs. This is really
exactly
your long-term care plan when you're still fully independent is to consider one of these. And you will want to review that contract very carefully and also vet the financial strength of the CCRC, because some of them did run into financial issues with the pandemic in particular. And you're making this long-term commitment to provide or to receive lifetime care. So there's obvious issues. These aren't necessarily, there's no guarantee the facility will survive. And so that's another important consideration as well.
That's a great point, because here the commitment is stronger. You're kind of betting on this CCRC to be around, let's just say 20 years, just to pick a number. Mm-hmm. This is not the example where we were saying you go to a nursing home and really, you're looking at 4 to 5 years for better or for worse. These are one of these things that, you know, you mentally are using the philosophy of a stitch in time. So I'm going to do this now while I can and still even enjoy the community, because it's amazing what they have there. But the beauty of it is, as Wade said, it helps, you know, as you need to step up in care, they have those services already in there. But the reality is they're expecting you to use all those services, and you know, unless your health just falls off a cliff, this is something that, you could potentially be looking at 10 plus years, 15 years. And at that point, yeah, you do have to take into consideration the stability of this organization.
Yeah, with the RESA, it may require a stronger commitment orientation to even really be thinking about CCRCs.
Look at that, Wade. Look at that.
Those are the optionality orientation.
Whoa. Oh my goodness.
Kind of give up a lot of the optionality. It's kind of like an annuity in that regard. You're really making that lifetime commitment to housing arrangements.
And this is where you got to look at I'm sure it's a give and take like everything else in trade-offs, that if you want to be able to get out and sell it, then probably the services that you're going to get are going to be, you know, commensurate with that optionality, if you will.
Yeah, and of course you can always get out, or if the business goes out of business, you may just be missing out on hundreds of thousands of dollars of fees. Yeah. Which is kind of the of course you can leave, but it may be costly.
Besides that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I mean, who can...
yeah, might have to leave a lot on the table to do that. So that's where the commitment comes into play.
Yeah.
You're not held captive there though.
And that's good for definitions, wouldn't you say, Wade?
Well, yeah, if you want to talk a little bit more about questions for CCRCs, if you're thinking about it, that's where, when you're reviewing 100%. That contract with an elder law attorney, just
what are the things to ask?
Yeah, like what are the entrance fees? Are they refundable? What do monthly fees cover? What are other possible expenses in addition to the quoted monthly fees that you're seeing? What are the accommodations like? How do they change if one member transitions to a higher level of care, what happens to the other individual? Do they also need to move from like a two-person facility to a one-person place? Can the monthly fees increase? And if so, what are the circumstances behind that? What types of long-term care services are provided? What's the cost of additional services? Do you require, some facilities may, especially if it's lower upfront costs, higher monthly expenses, some facilities may require you to hold a long-term care insurance policy to enter. So are there any requirements like that? And that's again where the contract that has a high upfront cost, low ongoing expenses, could be an alternative to holding long-term care. But a contract with a low upfront cost, high monthly expenses, might require you to have a long-term care policy to pay those expenses. And then also, is there a waiting list for entering? Or what does that kind of, how quickly can you move in? Those are some of the considerations to look at if you're thinking about a particular CCRC in your area.
You had here, what's the maximum wait time on pickleball courts?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. How how easy is it to get a pickleball access?
Yes. Hey, I'm there. So what am I saying? But all right. Wait, no, these are good questions. But again, we're laying the groundwork so we can, you know, bring in folks that can give you the ins and outs, if you will, because these things are very nuanced, you know, and obviously we need the basic definitional items and the standard is what you want to look out for, what we're trying to provide right now. But the reality is, without color, without the nuance, you're still going to be a little behind. And so we'll bring that to you in this arc. And however long it takes, that's fine.
Yeah. Don't know how many episodes this one will be, but we'll keep pushing forward with that. And we will kind of next in the, if it's just Alex and I on the next episode, it's going to be more about options for funding long-term care. And that'll be the self-funding Medicaid, traditional long-term care insurance, and then the hybrid insurance, long-term care with either life insurance or an annuity. So that's still coming, as well as having various guests to dig in deeper on some of these topics.
All righty, everyone. Thank you again for bearing with us as we go through these definitions. It's much appreciated. And thank you for the support. Wade and I, again, every once in a while, we look back at retirement research. I was looking at the numbers, Wade. We're like in the 500,000 downloads at this point, wow, in spite of me. So not bad, man. Not bad at all.
No, that's
so
great.
Onward and upward. Yeah. So thanks, everyone. And we'll catch you next week.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Wade and Alex are both principals in McLean Asset Management and Retirement Researcher. Both are SEC-registered investment advisors located in Tysons, Virginia. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational and educational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific securities. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor. All investing comes with a risk, including risk of loss. Past performance does not guarantee future results.